Certainly glad to have him. Let's give him a hand for being here with us, and you get your Bibles ready.
Thank you, buddy. My own.
Yes,
that's good. Okay. Thank you so much for being in God's house, and we on back there. Check 1, 2, 1, 2. Okay, and thank you for being here. Didn't you enjoy the choir singing? And I appreciate God's goodness and what He's done for all of us. And my daughter sings that with Trinity's Choir in Asheville, North Carolina, and they had a service this past Sunday morning, and they sung it twice, and God got to moving, and folks got saved, and their lives were impacted, and so we praise God for God's goodness and His mercy and grace and what He's done for us. Nobody but Jesus could do for us, and we're thankful and grateful for God's goodness. I want you to take your Bible for a few moments this morning out of Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. And we'll look at several things in this passage of Scripture for a few moments. And I trust God can speak to our hearts together. If you look at this passage, it's dealing with three stories and three parables. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus was the greatest portrait painter that's ever been upon the face of the earth. He could take the fig tree, He could take a certain circumstance or a story or a situation, and He could paint worlds of pictures by His descriptions. And I'm glad that that's in the Word of God, that you and I can learn and begin to understand the portrait of God's painting. Well, in these passages in Luke's gospel, you'll find him rewriting and delivering. There's three stories. There's the lost sheep, and he begins to talk about if one is lost and the 99 is still there, will you not go after the one? And aren't you glad that Jesus is in the rescuing business, and the Lord is in the business of coming after you and I? And I asked Dalton if they would sing that song, Chasing Rebels Down, and to go right with this. And I thought about how many times the Lord has come after you and me and our rebellion and our laziness for Him. And the Lord continues to come after us. Well, He said, would we not rejoice over the one that was found? Talking about the lost sheep. Then the little lady is in her house and she finds that she has lost the lost silver, the coin. And she begins to sweep the house and she finds that lost coin and that lost piece of silver. And she goes to all of her neighbors and said, rejoice with me, that which was lost is now found. And then you come to the third part of this parable, and that's where we want to look into this morning. In Luke chapter number 15, in verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Every person in this building, we've got saved people in this building, and we may have lost people in this building. There's no in between. You either are or you're not, right? Amen. And every person inside of this building, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're either in love with Jesus or you're not in love with Jesus. Amen. And so many times in the days that we're living in, because of the perplexity of life, because of the circumstances that we face every day, we find ourselves, a lot of times, we'll grow cold and indifferent on Jesus, right? And we'll find ourselves to the place where we get comfortable and we become easy in well-doing, is what the Scripture says. And so Jesus now begins to describe this young man that took his journey and wasted everything that he had. And if I could take for a few moments and march every person up behind this platform and behind this pulpit, they would tell you the same story that I'm going to tell you. Your pastor has told you time and time again, don't waste the years that you have. Use them for the Lord. And so many Christians find themselves wasting their years, wasting their opportunities, wasting their time, wasting their treasure, wasting their talents, wasting all the stuff that they have on themselves instead of following the Lord Jesus Christ and honoring Him. And so here the scripture begins to talk about this situation of the parable of the lost sheep, the lost silver, and now the lost son. And when you look at this, I want you to think about just a moment that this young man had the audacity to look at the father and say, give me what's coming to me. Is that not the mentality of today's society? We're a me generation. We're a selfie generation. If I were to take my cell phone out and I were to, over the congregation, I would do this. What am I about to do? I'm going to take a selfie. We are involved in the selfie generation. We are involved in the me generation. And you find millions of pictures that are taken every day, maybe at dinner, maybe at lunch, maybe at church, maybe at school, and we're taking selfies and we're taking pictures of each other. And this young man comes to the place in his day where he looks at his father, the goodness of his father, the mercy of his father, the graciousness of his father, and he looks at him and he says, I want all that's coming to me. I'm ready to leave the house and go do what I want to do. And you see, so many times, what is the cause and the circumference around wasting years on God? I believe, number one, that rebellion is involved because this young son looked at the father and he didn't care what it was going to do to the heart of the father. He didn't care what it was going to do to his mom. He didn't care what it was going to do to those around him. And he looked at his father and said, I want everything that is coming to me and I want it now. And the younger son went and began to take everything that he had and leave the will of his father, leave the safety of his father, leave everything that he had behind, and he takes himself on a journey to a far country, which is a type of the world. And rebellion is always that catalyst that causes us to leave the father's house and to leave the safety net of the father and to leave everything behind and begin to waste our lives in the cares of this life. He said, give to me what's coming to me in verse number 12. But you see, apathy is always involved in the cause of wasted years, because as the father was dividing unto him his living, it means literally in that day that everything the father had and worked for and labored for and was able to gather together, that was his life's journey. That was his life's work. That was everything that he put inside of getting to where he was financially and physically and mentally and spiritually. All of that was engulfed together. And the younger son looked at him and says, I don't care what's going to happen to you. I want what's coming to me. And for you and I to get to that place, how apathetic must we become to look at the father and say, I don't want what the father has anymore. I want to live my life for me. And literally what he was saying to his father in that culture, just as it is in the culture of today, for an inheritance to be given, someone has to die. And he was literally looking at the face of his father the whole time, and he's saying, I don't care if you even die. I want what's coming to me. How harsh do we have to become? How hard do we have to become? How apathetic do we have to become to come to the place to look in the eyes of the father and say, I don't want your goodness anymore. I don't want your grace anymore. I don't want your kindness anymore. I want to live my life for me. You see the apathy that is caused and involved in somebody wasting their years on God. You think about the rebellion, the apathy, but what about the pride? He gathered all that he had together and he began this journey to leave the far country. And he goes to the far country and he leaves it all behind. He's got pride that has risen up in his life. And what happens in the house of God when we get cold, when we become indifferent, we become prideful and we think that the services and everybody here is wrapped up in my life and in my situation, and it's all about me, and we become prideful. Well, let me remind you, if it were not for the grace of a living God, if it was not for the love of Jesus Christ, every person in this building would be lost and destitute. Every person in this building would be condemned to hell. But aren't you glad that Jesus rescues sinners and Jesus changes the life of people inside of this building, and we once was lost, but now we're found. And this young man rose up in pride and took the journey and left everything behind and found himself headed toward the world where he thought he was going to have a good time at. Now watch what happens. You see what's involved in this wasted year mentality. Not only the pride, but popularity. When you've got the stuff, and you've got the money, and you've got the crowd, and you've got the booze, and you've got the liquor, and you've got all the stuff handed to you, and you begin to spread that out, you'll have friends everywhere, and your popularity will rise. But my friends, somewhere that's going to run out. Somewhere that's going to dissipate. Somewhere that's going to fall to the side, and you'll find yourself just like this young man did. He was seeking popularity, but he found himself all alone. And sometimes in the midst of churches, we find ourselves looking for the popularity of man instead of looking for the popularity of the Son of God resting upon our lives and using us in this day. The popularity caused him to waste his years. But I want you to notice what this scripture says, so that way you understand that I'm not just telling you something. I'm showing you from the scripture. Wasted years cost you something. There's people inside of this building that have the scars of a wasted year. There's individuals in this building. I wish I didn't, and I didn't do some of the things that I did before I was saved. Amen. There's scars, there's skeletons, if you want to say it that way, in our closet. But aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus, as they sung, covers it all and washes it all away. And now he cast it as far as the east is from the west. It's not the Lord's problem. It's my problem. I keep bringing it up. Huh? And so this young man finds himself. He's from a Jewish culture, a Jewish family, and he's leaving the safety of his house. He's got everything handed to him hand over foot. He's got all the blessings of the Father. He's got everything that you can imagine. And he looks at the Father in pride and apathy and rebellion and popularity. And he says, I want what's coming to me. Amen. And then he sets his face toward the country called the far country, which is a type of the world. And he begins this journey. And notice what the costs were of this man wasting his years. Notice in verse number 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered, notice that little phrase, all together. And took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous. That's drunken, whoremongering, crazy, insane, what the world says is fun living, where you don't remember what you did last night, where you find yourself around a commode lid puking your guts out because of what you did last night,
where you find yourself in the cesspool of sin that we used to crave last night. And he gets involved in all of that stuff, and he takes his journey, and he walks away, and he goes to the far country. And for him to do that, he has to leave everything good behind. And the scripture said in verse number 13, he took his journey and he left it all. When you get to the place spiritually where you walk away from Christ and you say, I'm going to do what I want to do, you're leaving everything that God has for you behind. Amen. You're leaving His mercy, His goodness, His grace. You're leaving the will of God. You're leaving the safety net of the Holy Ghost of God. You're leaving all of that behind to take that journey. So be careful what you do in this day, because it's going to cost you more than you can ever comprehend when you begin that journey to the far country. Notice what happens. He leaves it all. But then in verse number 13, what does it say? And he wasted his substance with riotous living. He wasted it all. He had it all, and now he wastes everything that he have, everything that he has, and he leaves all of that behind. And he gets down to the place where he's in the far country. And notice verse 14, and when he had spent all. Notice those alls. Not only did he waste it all, did he leave it all, but now he spends everything that he has. He has himself a time. He's got the popularity of the crowd. He's got the friends with him. And he gets to the place where now he leaves everything behind and he spends all that he has. And let me say that Satan loves for you to spend all that you have. Satan loves for you to spend all your resources and all your time and all your treasures and all your talents. He loves for you to get to that place where you leave everything behind and chase after him and go to the direction he wants you to go. And when you do that, you spend all that you have in the far country. He wasted everything that he has. But notice in verse number 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Which means he gets down there and the resources that he took with him is gone. The stuff that he took with him is gone. The popularity that he was craving is now dissipating and is gone. The things that he longed for over there in the far country, he finds himself now sitting there in want.
Amen.
He's all alone. And notice what it says. And when he had spent all, there arose that famine. In verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And where did the citizen of that country, which is a type of Satan and the flesh and the devil, and he joins himself to his camaraderie. And he says, we're going to go down there. And he said, just come with me. We'll have a good time. And Satan ploys and plans and gets on the backs of God's people, because you've got to realize something. If you're saved by the grace of God, then heaven is your home and you're going to spend eternity with Christ. But there's some people and some times that we get cold and we get indifferent and we begin to leave the Father's care and we start our journey away from God, and little by little we find us not coming to church. We're not craving Sunday school. We're not craving the Bible. We're not craving the times of prayer. We're not craving songs that lift me up to Jesus. And we get cold and we get indifferent. And then we start thinking about ourselves and what we want instead of what God wants. And we find us walking away from everything that we have and get to the far country. And then we join ourselves to the people of that country, to the things of that country, to the flesh of that country. And Satan is right there saying, come on with me. We're going to have a good time. Just party it out. Just live for me. Everything's going to be okay. And he took that Jewish boy that wasn't supposed to be near a pig or a hog, and he took him to the hog pen, and he finds himself in the muck and the mire of the hog pen, and he finds himself eating what the hogs are eating.
That's right. Come on.
Satan never plays fair. Satan never shows you the end result of where he's going to take you. Satan never shows you what's going to happen in the end. They never show you on the commercial of the Budweiser commercial the end result of that young man wrapped around a telephone pole and his life over, or his life maimed, or his life in the hospital for the rest of his life. Satan never shows you the end result of the party. He never shows you the end result of the needle. He never shows you the end result of what it's going to cost you and where it's going to take you. And Satan will join himself to you, pull you in that place and pull you in that direction until you find yourself all alone.
Amen.
I've never seen Hollywood come and rescue one of those young people that Satan took that direction.
That's right.
Huh? I've never seen the rap star take and rescue that individual that listened to the lyrics of his song and followed exactly what the lyrics was and went down there and joined himself to that country. I've never seen them rescue those individuals. What I'm trying to say, Satan doesn't play fair. He's the manipulator, and he's out to wreck and to ruin every life in this building. And if you're saved by the grace of God, all he can do is taint your character and try to get back at Jesus for what he did on bloody Calvary. But let me remind you that if you'll stay faithful and stay in the will of God and stay right where Jesus wants you, you will never find yourself in the shape of this young man. Now follow with me. I'm like an airplane. I'm taking off to get you somewhere. And we're taxiing. Notice what it says. He goes, he finds himself in the field of the swine, and he feeds. And verse 16, he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And notice the next phrase, and no man gave unto him. He's all alone. He's by himself. He's joined himself to somebody, a type of Satan, a citizen of that country. And he finds himself sitting in the muck and the mire of the hog pen, and he's feeding off the junk that the hogs are eating. That's exactly where Satan will lead your life away from Jesus Christ. When you leave the safety net of the will of God and the Son of God, you will always find yourself in the same place. His tactics never change. We just need to be smart enough to know what Satan's going to do and what he's going to try and the tricks of how he's going to perform. But notice this in verse 17, and here's where I want to show you this morning. How much time we got, Brother Robbie? We're still good? And when he came to himself in verse 17, everybody in this building needs to have come to Jesus meeting, where we come to ourselves and we realize, can I say it this way, how stupid I am, huh? How crazy I am, how insane that I am. Why would I leave the goodness of the Father and go down there and join myself to the hog pen of the world and get dirty and filthy and eat the stuff that they're eating? Why would I do that when I've got all the goodness of the house of God to be a part of my life and a part of my family and to watch what God can do if I just stay right here in the center of his will?
Amen.
Huh? Now notice what happens. He got to thinking, and he came to himself. How many of you in this building, you need a come to yourself meeting? You need a realization that you have walked away. You need a realization, I'm not where I need to be. And little by little, I've walked away from the will of God and the things of God. And I become just like that young man. And I'm on my journey out of the house of God and out of the Father's house. And I find myself walking away from everything that is good and gracious and kind. And I find myself in the hog pen of this world. You got to come to yourself. How many of my hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? He said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against thee, against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose, and he came to his father. But I love this. But when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him. Can I just say, not only there's a cause of me wasting my years, there's a cost involved. He lost everything that he had. He lost all. But there's a cure. What is that cure? I got to realize my condition. I've got to come to myself. I've got to realize where I'm at, what I'm doing, what I'm involved in. And I've got to come to the realization, hey, back at the Father's house, it's a lot better than it is out here. Back at the Father's house, there's mercy and grace and kindness and forgiveness. If I could just get back there. But now you'd not only have the component of the younger son, but now let's look at the father for just a moment. I can imagine, Brother Robbie loves this rocking chair. I can imagine that father and that mother on the porch of their house. Just a few days ago, this younger son looked at him in rebellion and said, I want what's coming to me. I'm tired of the rules. I'm tired of the regulations. I've never figured that out. Young folks look at their parents and say, I want to out. I want to go. I want to leave. And then they go join the army. And you got it better than you ever had it. And when you get there, Mr. Drill Sergeant's not going to care what you think.
That's right.
They're going to get you up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
They're going to make you clean your room.
That's right.
Huh? They're going to make you do stuff you didn't want to do. Huh? He came to himself. But I could see the father. Let's paint the portrait for a moment. I could see the father while he's on the porch. Every day of his life, since the boy left and the young man left, I believe he was sitting there looking out over the horizon and just thinking, I wonder, would this be the day he would come home? Would this be the day maybe he would just come to himself and he would come to the realization and he would come home? And they're sitting there rocking, they're sitting there talking, and they're sitting there thinking, and the father looks out over the horizon, over that dirt road that's in front of his house, and he looks out there and he sees some dust in the distance. He sees something, a silhouette of somebody in the distance, and he looks over there at his wife and the mother of that young man, no doubt, and he looks over there and says, I wonder, could this be our boy? Could this be our baby? Could this be our son? Could this be the one that was lost? Could this be the one that walked away? Could this be the one that threw everything that he had away in the far country? Could this finally be him? See, the father never gave up on him. The father never quit loving him. The father never said no to him. The father never looked at him and said, you're too unworthy. You're too stinking. You're too dirty. You're too filthy. I don't want no part of you. And aren't you glad, hallelujah, that the Heavenly Father loves you with an everlasting love? He gave everything for you. He changed your life. And when you find yourself walking away from Him, He's up there looking out over the roadbed saying, I wonder, will they get tired of it? Will they just quit it once in a while? Would they just leave it all behind and come back home? Because I want to forgive them. I want to love on them. I want to help them. I want to restore them. I want to bless them if they would just get back in the care of the Father.
Amen.
And here that younger son, starts the journey home, and he says, he's rehearsed it. Can you imagine the times he's rehearsed it? I'm not worthy to be the son. I'm messed it up. I've lost it all. I'm dirty. I'm tired. I'm broken. I'm empty. I have nothing to give. I'm not worthy to be the son. But I wonder if my daddy would just let me be like the servant. If he'll just let me come to the house. If he'll just let me spend time there. If he'll let me rest a little while. If he'll come for me, and if he'll bring me in, I wonder, will they accept me? Will they come and get me? Or will they keep me out? Or will they throw me aside? Or will they say, you've wasted too much and you've lost too much? You're not going to be forgiven. But the Father was the opposite of that. He was looking out over the horizon saying, oh, could this be my son that was lost but now is found? And he finds himself looking. And one day he gets up and he looks out over the breach of that roadbed. And he saw the silhouette of someone coming. And the closer he got, the more he recognized it was his son. And the Father, according to the scripture, says this. And he arose and came to the Father. Verse 20. But when he was yet a great way off, his Father saw him. Amen. Aren't you glad he saw you? Aren't you glad he came to your mess? Aren't you glad you recognized and realized and you were willing to turn away and you were willing to confess and you were willing to come to the Father, and the Father saw you like you was, and he did not turn you aside. And he saw him. And he had compassion. Not condemnation, compassion. And he ran. Oh, I'm glad for the day I was messed up that Jesus didn't run away from me, but he ran to me. I'm glad for the day when I was out in sin that Jesus didn't say that was too tough for me, but he ran to me. I'm glad for the day when I was going my direction, living my life for me, that the Son of God looked my way and saw me, and he ran to where I was at. And the scripture says that he ran and he fell on his neck. Remember, he just come out of the hog pen, filthy, dirty, stinking, all the stuff all over him, and he kissed him. You begin to study that scripture, and in the connotation of the Jewish culture, that word has the thought process, he continually is kissing him. He's continually welcoming him. He's continually loving on him. He's continually spending time with him. He's continually kissing him and saying, it's okay. And the son rehearses what he did on the journey coming back. And he said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Bring what's been held back for him. Bring what has been in his room since he left and bring it back to him and begin to wrap him in the robe of righteousness. And aren't you glad for the glorious day that the Son of God wrapped you in his mercy and his grace and his kindness and his forgiveness and his love and his righteousness when he forgave you and washed your sin away? And he said, not only the possession of the robe, but he said, put on the ring. The prosperity of the ring is that now, because of the signet of that ring, is ownership. And that ownership is from his Father. And because of the Father's wealth, now that son has authority to go anywhere he wants to and show the signet of the ring, and it's his. Do you understand you're citizens of a far greater country than this one? Amen. Do you understand that everything that God has is yours? Do you understand that all that God has blessed us with is yours and is mine? And all we've got to show is what Jesus did on the inside of our heart and watch what God can still do for His youngins, even in this dark hour that we're living in. The blessing of the signet of the ring gave Him ownership and authority that everywhere He went, He could get anything he wanted because of the authority of the ring. Amen. But guess what? He came home with no shoes, no clothes, just dirty, filthy rags torn of his clothes that he had, and no shoes. And he said, "Servant, go get the shoes, because I want him to walk in the forgiveness of what I'm providing for him." And every day of your life, you're walking in the mercy and the grace of God because of His forgiveness and His love and His kindness toward every person in this building. I want you to think very quickly, and they can get ready. I don't know if he's playing a song or if he's got somebody coming. But think of this, that the picture of this story is that you and I are the Son.
Amen.
The Father's a type of our Heavenly Father.
That's right.
The world in the far country is a type of the world. And then that journey is a type of the world, our time here on earth. What are we going to do with the time God's given us? What are we going to do with that? Will I waste it? Or will I stay in the will of God?
Amen.
The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, I know that your pastor, he loves Israel. He loves studying the Holy Land, studying prophecy, studying the Scriptures. We're closer than we've ever been to the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
But yet more church people are out of the will of God, greater in number than ever before. Huh? It's no secret that Satan's plan, that citizen of that country, is to pull you away from God and all that He has. So you got to make a choice. It's twofold, the implication of this parable. It's to the Christian that's like the prodigal son that's walked away from the goodness of the Father. And then it's the part of a lost person that's never known the love of the Father.
That's right.
And there's two categories of individuals in this building. We're either saved or we're lost.
Amen.
We either know Jesus or we don't.
Right.
And somewhere you've got to come to that recognition and that realization and that come to myself time where you understand, am I lost or am I saved? When you lay your head on the pillow at night, do you wonder, where will I spend eternity? What's going to happen to me down the road? Huh? Do you know Jesus? Do you know your sins have been forgiven? Do you know there's been a time and a place in your life when you watched Jesus wash your sin away?
Amen.
And cleanse you from all the stuff that the world put on you? Huh?
Amen.
Do you know that? But then if you know that, are you in that place where little by little COVID really hurt the church? Because people got comfortable out of the house of God.
Amen.
And there's people today that have still not darkened the doors of God's house, even though we're meeting. They use the excuse of being scared. They use the excuse of what will happen if something happens to me. Well, if you're saved by the grace of God and you know Jesus, absent from this body's present with the Lord. So I'm a winner either way. Huh? So I need the fellowship of God's people. I need the fellowship of God. I need the fellowship of Jesus. I need the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I need the fellowship inside the house of God. So he said, as you see these days approaching, so much the more should you be here. Huh? But you found yourself growing cold, little by little,
well, maybe I'll miss this Sunday. Little by little, maybe I'll walk away this month. And we get cold and we get indifferent. And now we're on a journey we never thought we would ever go on in our life. It's easy to do. I'm not up here pointing fingers at anybody. I'm up here trying to let you know that that is an easy way out. It's easy. But today, you got a choice. You got a decision. Will you come to yourself? Will you come back home to where Jesus is at and the Father's at? Or will you continue that journey walking away further and further and further away until you lose everything you have? All I can say to every person in this building, believe me, believe the Word of God, there is a cost to my running away from God. Huh? And you got a choice. What will that choice be? I want us to stand all over the building. Pastor Robbie's coming in just a moment. But I want you to think for just a moment, with every head bowed and every eye closed. How many would be honest in the building and say, preacher, I know there's been a time and a place in my life where I met Jesus and I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm a Christian. I know the Lord is my Savior. There's no doubt about it. I know Jesus Christ is in my life and in my heart. If you know that, just lift that hand up all over the building and just wave it to Jesus. God bless you. That's a testimony of a changed life. Now, how many of those Christians would be honest? I'm not in love with him like I used to be. I don't spend time with him like I used to. And preacher, I'm afraid I'm getting closer to going to that route of the far country than I ever imagined. And I really need you to pray for me as a Christian. I need to get back to the Father's love house, center of his will, and say, Father, please forgive me. Would there be a Christian just lift that hand up as a believer in this building? God bless you, God bless you, God bless you all over this building. Just lift them up, lift them up, lift them up, lift them up. God bless you. Maybe you just want to start coming right now and for a few moments get around this altar and say, Lord, please, I want to stay in the center of your will. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I want to fall back in love with you. I want to stay right where you want me to be. How many Christians would just leave those seats and come for a few moments and just spend time with Jesus? From the back to the front, you just come, you just come, you just come. That's right. I wonder how many people in this building would be honest. Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. I'm not sure that there's ever been a time and a place in my heart and my life that I've ever asked Jesus to save me and to change my life. And I want you to pray for me. I don't want to die lost in my sin. Pray for me. Would there be one, just lift that hand up and just lift it up so I can pray for you. I don't want to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. You just be honest enough just to lift that hand up as a young man, a young lady, a mom, a dad, a senior adult in this building and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Anyone, anywhere. Anyone, anywhere. Anyone, anywhere. Now, Father, I pray, God, that you would help us to see the powerful illustration that you give in this story. And what I take away from it, you never quit loving us. And you're always chasing after us. And you're always coming for us. And Lord, I thank you for that. Father, I thank you, God, that you've always been a God of forgiveness and love and mercy and grace. And God, I pray today that you would help every person in this building to stay in the center of your love, the center of your grace, and the center of your mercy, and never forget what you've done for them. And they would walk away loving you more than they ever have before. And we'll thank you for all that you've done and all that you do. Lord, bless us today. Bless this church. Bless Pastor Robbie. God, give him a speedy recovery. We love this man. We ask you to bless him in Jesus' name and his family. We thank you for this church family in Jesus' name. Amen. while these are still praying, don't forget, as you walk out of the building, I know Pastor Robbie's coming. I've got some information back there on the ministries that we have, not only Venture of Faith Camp that we shared with you a couple weeks ago, and thank you again for your support and your help with the camp. We have our disaster relief organization called Hearts with Hands. That information is back there on the table as well. Pick that up, and if you ever want to be involved in helping people in times of disaster, it's a great way that you can do that. The next event at the camp is going to be Friday and Saturday, August the 25th and 26th. That's going to be our back-to-school youth retreat there at the camp. We'd love for you to come, young folks to come, college-age adults that would like to come to the services. We'd love for you to come and be a part of that. That information is back there. And then I know your pastor takes a Holy Land trip. We will be going, Lord willing, March the 4th through the 13th. And this will be Dr. Ralph Sexton's 60th teaching tour. I'll be there teaching with him, Lord willing. And if you'd like to have information about that, that is back on the table as well. But I'll be back there, and we want to say we love you, we appreciate you, and thank you for allowing us the privilege to be here today.
Amen. Amen. That was some good preaching. I appreciate that preaching. And this Thursday after my surgery, Miss Miranda and my favorite secretary other than my wife, she brought me a coffee. And we sat in my living room, and this was the Bible that we discussed. We were talking about